The comedian Stephen Wright has a beautiful line. He says, you can't have everything. Where would you put it? And that theme of not having everything, although not because of storage space, is something that came up here the other night in a particular way. But in order to lead into it, I want to tell you a story about a rabbi who came to America a little over 100 years ago and then went back to Eastern Europe. And his friends and colleagues said, what is it like over in America? And he said, in America, they know how to do Kiddush, but they've not yet learned how to do Havdalah. And I want to explain to you what he means. Kiddush is the blessing over the wine, the blessing over joy, the blessing over abundance. That, he said, we know. Havdalah is the blessing over distinctions. Bein Kodesh L'chol, Bein Or L'choshech, Bein Yisrael L'amim, the distinction between light and dark, between the Sabbath and every day, between Israel and other peoples. In other words, he was saying Americans know abundance, but not limitation. You can't have everything, but we don't know that yet. And I bring this up because the other night, we had Lori Gottlieb here speaking to the Atid group. She wrote an article in the New York Times Magazine that caused quite a stir. It was called Settling for Mr. Good Enough. And she sat there as a woman in her 40s, unmarried, with a child, and she told younger men and women that the expectation that you can find everything in a partner is sabotaging your ability to find a partner. The idea that you will find a provider and your best friend and somebody who is handsome and wonderful and considerate and sensitive, or that you will find someone who is beautiful and wonderful and a good cook and fun about town and also will perhaps have a job on the side and be a wonderful mother. Means you've learned Kiddush, but you know nothing about Havdalah. I supplied the verbiage at the end. That wasn't her term. But this is a condition of American life. When you have 100 channels, or 200, or 500, you are paradoxically less likely to watch a movie than when you have 4. You may watch 5 minutes of 100 movies, but at the end of the night, you haven't seen a movie. When you know that you can go online and meet 100 people in an evening, it may give you the illusion that you're not alone. But then you turn off the computer and none of those 100 people is married to you. Because they've all got 100 people too. And what you realize is that everything that we want in this world is limitless except for time. Everything but time. And if you spend the time of your lives searching always for better, you will soon discover that everything is the modern enemy of something. And Kiddush is good, but sooner or later, you have to learn Havdalah. When Rabbi Sella spoke so eloquently of religion before, as opposed to spirituality, this theme threaded through his talk. Look up there at the Ten Commandments. Look how many of them start with the word lo, you shall not. Limitation is the prerequisite for achievement. Sooner or later, you have to decide. The Catholic writer and philosopher Chesterton used to say that the most important part of any work of art is the frame. Because without the frame, you don't have a work of art. You have to know the limits in which you intend to paint. Otherwise, you can't paint anything. And this afflicts us, not just in a choice of mate, but in a choice of life. Why is it, and I ask this knowing how pointed it will be, that 15 years ago people could sit quietly in a synagogue and now they find it impossible to come here without a cell phone? I'll tell you why. Right, thanks for turning it off. Because someone might call. And the thought that you would miss the call, that a possibility, that call will probably be the call that will tell you that you won the lottery and the Nobel Prize, right? That's going to be the call that you will miss. And a trip to Bermuda. The thought that you might miss that call is unbearable because we've not been schooled in the art of limitation. We read this morning about kashrut. What is kashrut? Kashrut says you may eat this, but you can't eat that. Even the word for holiness, the word on which kiddush is based, kadosh, the Hebrew word for holy, means what? Separate. That which is not separate is not holy. You have to know who is yours. When you draw a circle before the chuppah, what are you saying? It's not that I don't care about other people, but some separation exists. There is a circle. And in all of our lives, love depends on limitation, as does art, as does devotion, as does creating Klal Yisrael, the people of Israel. All of this depends on our ability to limit and to choose. Might there be something, someone better, around the corner, across the globe, in the next time you click on the internet? The answer is always yes. But you haven't got forever. And you cannot make a commitment to everyone. Because if you do, then you make a commitment to no one. I say this not only because it is crucial to lives as Americans, and God knows to living in Los Angeles, but also it is crucial to being a Jew. You don't have endless resources. What are you going to give your resources to? You can't give them to everything. You must choose. You don't have endless time. With whom are you going to spend your time? You have to choose. And if you spend your time with the people whom you love, always on your cell phone because you might miss a call, or always on the computer because you might miss an email, or always flipping on the channels because that perfect movie might come on, then in the end, you have allowed abundance to overflow the possibility of connection, and you'll be left with nothing. This is our task. To focus our energies, to draw our connections to those who are close, to understand that life is a series of closing doors as well as opening them. And it's true, behind every closed door is a regret. But there is no love, no life, no purpose, no accomplishment, and surely no growth without closing doors. You can't only have Kiddush. You have to have Havdalah. There are lots and lots of ways in which this applies to all of our lives. And let me just suggest this. We're coming up on Pesach. And Pesach is, as you know, one of the four new years of the Jewish year, and a time for reflection and a time for thought. It's a good time to think what you are going to devote yourself to in the coming year. It is a time of spring and renewal. So what are you going to do? And realize that whatever you devote yourself to, whatever you devote yourself to, means that you are slighting other things. A professor of mine in college once said, remember, every time you read a bad book, it's not just that you're reading a bad book, it's that you're turning your back on thousands of good ones. So think about how you spend your time, how you focus your time, whether you have time for reflection, for seriousness, for thoughtfulness, whether in the coming year you use your energies to support what you believe in, Eretz Yisrael, whether you work in one way or another for the land of Israel, for the people Israel, for goodness, for kindness, for closeness, and for love. You can't do everything, but you can do something. And as the ancient and oft-repeated words of Rabbi Tarfon remind us, Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor. You don't have to finish the job. V'lo ata ben chorin lehibatel mimena. But you are not free to stop working. So choose something in your life that transcends you, that is important, that matters. And give it what you've got. Give it your energy, your time, and your love. And if you do, you will discover that all the things you didn't do don't matter so much after all. But what you did, the Havdalah you made, just like the Havdalah we make at the end of Shabbat, shines a light that will see you through the week, see you through the year, and light a way, God willing, for the rest of your life. Shabbat Shalom.